All right, it's 2026, and we've been fasting and praying for a few days now. So some of you, you're like, if you're new and you're like, I haven't been fasting and praying, hopefully you've been praying. But we here at the church have decided for the next 21 days that we're going to be fasting and praying. We're going to believe God for like whatever you have been needing a breakthrough in, and that you've just been focused in on saying, God, I need vision. I need perspective. I need a breakthrough, whatever that is. And so some of you guys, you're maybe it's the first time you've ever fasted, so you have a lot of questions. I would encourage you to go back and watch our December 28th service that we did online. Pastor Adam and I sat down and we discussed what fasting's all about. For some of you, you're like, I haven't started fasting. Do I need to? Sure. If you feel led right now and you're like, you know what, I want to begin to fast, well, then this is your opportunity. So go back. You can start tomorrow. You can start today, all right? It's never too late to fast. You can always fast, okay? Now, in the next coming weeks, we got some guest ministers coming in. We have my wife. She'll be ministering as well about fasting and praying. And so today, I wanted to talk about something a little different. So follow with me. This is an old school Pastor Josh message, meaning this is what I used to be known for, was a jambalaya message. Meaning, you better just follow with me because it's very ADHD, all right? It's just a lot of different parts, and at the very end, we throw it into a pot, and then we go, oh, okay, I get it, but you really got to stick with me, all right? I'm also a firm believer that you've got to take notes. You need to take notes. So if you have a pen and paper, write it down, or grab it and get ready to write. If you have your phone out, then pull up the Notes app and begin to write, because you're going to forget a lot of different things. And I believe there's going to be little nuggets here and there as we go through today's message. So I would encourage you, get ready and prepare, okay? And I also believe that all of you in the balcony are amazing and awesome, and all the people in the very back are amazing and awesome. But you can sit up front. Sitting up front makes you get an A. I had a professor in college. Did you have Dr. Hall?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Dr. Hall was a statistics teacher, and he would come in, and he'd first day of class, he would always go, you sit on front row, you get A, you sit on back row, you get F. You pretty girl, you sit anywhere you like. Well, no, you can't say that stuff now. But Dr. Hall did. I sat up front. I'd got a B. Statistics, the worst. All right. I'm excited. Here we go. This word, Maranatha, that some of you are not familiar with, some of you are, I mean, it depends. The only reason why you might be familiar with it is because you know of a church named Maranatha. I actually went to a church in college, while I was in college, called Maranatha. And I didn't really care to know what the word meant then. And so even today, it's kind of like one of those words you don't really hear too often. And it's only mentioned one time in the entire Bible, okay? And so it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 22. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Anathema means cursed, okay? So if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed. This is an invitation of your own will, your own decision, okay? This is not Paul cursing those individuals. He's saying, let them be cursed. If they choose not to love the Lord, let them be cursed. But then he goes on to say, Maranatha. Now, Maranatha is an Aramaic phrase, our Lord come. It also can be interpreted as our Lord has come. So as you hear the word Maranatha, it's actually a praise. It's a celebratory phrase. It's an exciting phrase to say, our Lord has come. Our Lord is coming. It's all represented in a past, present, and future tense. And it's really a wonderful word to say. Maranatha became the greeting of the oppressed believers, replacing shalom, which means peace. And so by saying Maranatha, they held fast to the hope of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ again. And so when they would see each other, they would be like, Maranatha, and then excitement. And so I think for some of us, we need to begin to look up. Maranatha is a call to look up. Too often we always want to get focused on temporary things and we get focused on the details of our life. And so what happens is our soul stays unsettled. And so when we look up, we're reminded that Jesus is coming soon. And we need to be excited about this. I think for so many years now, for 2,000 plus years, some of us become a little disdain towards this. And plus all the different prophecies of fake prophecies of when Jesus was coming back and all the different moments. So then it just becomes like this, you kind of get a little just content of and just ignore the fact that Jesus is coming. But Jesus is coming, and he tells us to look up. And as we're looking up to the return of Jesus, then that's the excitement of knowing that his kingdom is here on this earth, and we get to do a great and mighty work for his kingdom. And this should excite us. This should be good, because looking up is telling us that we know what Jesus said is true, that we believe this, that it is a hope of knowing that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to restore that which was stolen. And I'm so thankful that we have a God who cares for us, a God who looks after us. So looking down, it creates anxiety. Looking around, well, actually it creates distraction, but looking up, it creates hope. So I want us to always remember that. So I want us to, not that we're looking to say Maranatha all the time in this church, but I just wanted to go back to a phrase that they said, something that awoken them to what's going on, that Jesus is coming, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. There is a need to spread the gospel. There is a hurting and dying world, but we have got to share the love of God with people. It's our responsibility, and so we don't need to forget this word. So this is just one part of my jambalaya message this morning, but Maranatha. Why? Because we've got to set our eyes on Jesus in 2026. Guys, I heard that so many times last week. I love it. My wife, I love my wife. And we would be sitting around, and every so often, she'd just look at me on the couch, and she'd be like, we got to set our eyes on Jesus in 2026. It was so awesome. She does not like when I use her as an example, by the way. She also doesn't like when I say that. So I'm in real trouble today. But I plan on taking a nap when I get home, because I've been up for so long, so I won't even know if she doesn't like me right now, so it's okay. But so many times last week, my wife would say, we got to put our eyes on Jesus in 2026. And I'm like, yeah. So when I went to go like prepare this message, sure enough, that was like one of the first things I wrote. We've got to put our eyes on Jesus. And that's when I came across the word Maranatha, of like, oh, we got to put our eyes on Jesus, the hope, the original purpose of what we're doing. And so in 2026, we are worshiping our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So to those who are discouraged today, Maranatha. To those who are worried today, Maranatha. To those who are filled with anxiety over the problems that we're facing, Maranatha. Our Lord is coming. He has a redemption plan. He knows what he's doing. In Matthew chapter 6, 22 through 23, it says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. How important that we know where our eyes are. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What a warning. But an optimistic approach to the sense of how we should be focused, that our eyes should be set on the Lord. And when we do that, that is the gateway to who we are, that soul inside of us, the healthiness to who we are. And that's why it's important to Maranatha, to look up and to be celebratory of the fact that our Heavenly Father is coming. All right. Part two of my jambalaya message here. I'm going to open up Matthew here in chapter 13. We're going to talk about the parable of the farmer that's scattering seed. Now, I'm going to skip the part where Jesus describes it all in a parable, but I'm going to skip to the part actually in verse 10 where he defines and describes to the actual disciples about what he's telling. Because the disciples are confused. They're like, why are we always hearing parables? Why are you preaching and teaching this way? And so, there's a few aspects of the parable that you can take away. I'm only going to take one part of it. So don't think, oh, you missed this really cool part in this parable. I know, okay? It's the Bible. There's so many different layers to the stories that we hear or that we read in the Bible. But this one aspect is what I'm trying to pull out, okay? And so it's all about the soil. It's all about the soil. So here we go in verse 10, Matthew 13, verse 10. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So as you can see, there's a lot of different layers within this story. But the one layer that I really want to pull out is there in verse 16 where it talks about, I want to have eyes to see and ears to hear. That's what I get from that verse. That I want to have those eyes and those ears. Why? Because that's a representation of good soil. It's good soil. No farmer is going to walk out onto his land and see these types of soils and be like, well, I'll try. No, he's going to prepare his soil. There's a need to prepare our soil. There's a need to understand of the efficiency of having good soil and what it can do in your life. And too often, we've planted our own thorns. We've allowed rocks to stay in our soil. We've done things, and we're not actually preparing ourselves for the goodness of the Lord. And that's what we're doing right now with fasting and praying over these next few weeks, is that we're preparing ourselves for the goodness of God. But I also thought it would be important that we do an eye exam. Are you guys okay if we do an eye exam this morning? So everyone's pretty familiar with this eye exam, right? I actually got to go to the eye doctor here next week. I'm getting old. My eyes are getting tired, and so you will start seeing me wear glasses. It's okay. I've also just decided to go ahead and dye my hair complete silver from this point on. That's what is going to happen, but it's all right. Anyway, everyone, real quick, what's this letter?
G.
That's great. What's this letter?
G.
Ooh, did you guys in the balcony get that? You sit on front row, just saying. Okay, everybody, what's that one?
D.
D, that's right. Good job, guys. You're pretty good. Now, what about this last line right here? That's a no-go, isn't it? There's no way you guys can see that last line. I love that Dennis over here is trying. He took his glasses off. He's squinting. He's in it. What kind of glasses do you have? You have to take them off to be able to see. I can schedule an appointment, me and you, together. All right, let's get a little bit closer. All right, let's get a little bit closer. So everybody, what's this letter?
G.
What's this letter?
O.
Okay, I just zoomed in, obviously, so you guys can see it. Now, the front row, you can see this.
O.
Oh, no, sorry. Hold on, my finger got too close. There we go. You can see this. Now, you balcony people, I have questions if you can see this. I'm looking at my dad. He's in the balcony. He's getting an F. Okay. Let's just get a little bit closer. We see it here. It says, seeing clearly requires sowing intentionally. Let me, for all of you up in the balcony in the back, let's get a little bit closer. Seeing clearly requires sowing intentionally. Seeing clearly requires sowing intentionally. If you want to see it, you're going to have to sow it. You're going to have to sow it. And so God is preparing us. I believe that it's this is his statement for us in the sense of he wants to put good seed in us, all right? Vision to see what he's doing. The knowing of what he said. And Jesus told these disciples, said, listen, some people, they just don't get it. They're not able or capable or not allowed to right now because they're just not willing. They're deaf and they're blind and they don't see the goodness of God. But yet we today, knowing that we have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us, we have such a, this is like a game-changing bonus that we get to live in, the presence of the Holy Spirit today, to know what God is doing. But we have to prepare our soil. Okay? To be able to see clearly, all right, is sowing intentionally. And so God wants to sow intentionally in good soil. He's not going to waste seed, okay, on thorny ground. No farmer does this. He wants to give you the good stuff. He wants to know that you're faithful to what he's called you to do. So I think some of us in this room, you know, we reflected on 2025 and we go, man, that was, what a great year. You kind of celebrate the production of things, you know, what you produced. But have you reflected on what you sowed last year? Did you sit back and you go, man, what did I sow last year? Like, did you sow good seed? Were you sowing into good soil? Were you doing what the Lord had called you to do, and were you sowing into that soil? And I'm talking about like kingdom fruit, all right? By the way, you can't produce accidentally kingdom fruit, right? This is an intentional thing. So like, this is a real heart moment for all of us in this room to have a spiritual posture of, I want to be growing spiritually. I want to take advantage of all the spiritual growth opportunities. And when they're made available, I want to be there. I want to open up my Bible. I want to find myself in prayer, my Heavenly Father. I don't want to get my intentions in the way. Like what I want to do. I want to do what God's doing. I think it's easy to do this because, well, you know, you work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, and you can get so focused in on your career, but guys, I know no one wants to hear this, but that career doesn't really matter. I know it puts food on the table, kind of, but what puts food on the table is God. And when you believe in God and you do what he's called you to do, he will take care of you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. And so it's really important that we intentionally think about what we're going to sow into this year. What are we going to sow into? It's going to be good soil. God wants us to be good soil so he can sow into us. So there's a preparation for this. It goes back and forth. It's a hand-in-hand relationship that we have with God. And so I think it's really important that we need to evaluate some things. Let me ask you some questions this morning. It might help. What needs to be built? What needs to be built right now? What needs to be blessed? What needs to be buried? Think about this in your own life right now. What needs to be built? What is something spiritually that's kingdom-minded that needs to be built right now? What needs to be blessed? What needs to be buried? What are some things that we need to let go? That is actually killing the soil, right? It's not helping. It's not producing growth. It's actually producing rot. What is something we need to be intentional and active and say, no, I want to get rid of this. I want to bury it. Some of us, we might need to ask a harder question, and this might really resonate with some of you. It resonates with me. It was a question that was presented to me from my friends, and I wrote it down. I thought, I want to present this to the church as well. It was presented to me. I thought, man, what needed faith but's been on autopilot? Let me ask that question again. What's needed faith in the past, you know, but we put it on autopilot? Like, it's just kind of happened. I'll be transparent and honest with you. This church, for me, there's been a sense of autopilot. And that's not saying that I don't have vision, that God's not blessed us and continue to open up doors and blah, 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 you know, continue on here. But I just know that there's been moments where it was easy to kind of coast, and coasting isn't really great. It doesn't prepare you for the next big growth moment. It doesn't prepare you for what's around the corner. And so I have put sometimes my faith on autopilot rather than believe God for the miraculous and the good stuff, you know? I feel like church sometimes becomes a washing machine. We just keep washing Christians from church to church. Like, I want new believers. And I want, like, new believers, you know? People who hate God. You know what I mean? Like, we need to be, like, more intentional. That's where we got to sow into. That we've got to be a part of this tilling of the soil, preparing the hearts, loving on people, breaking down those walls and saying, I want to be intentional. I want my faith to be stretched, not on autopilot. I want to believe for some big stuff. So how do we keep our soil ready for sowing? Put spiritual development at the top of your list this year. Don't negate or neglect the things of God. Christmas Eve, I said this in the service. I said, you know, Jesus was there at the temple and his parents had left him there in Jerusalem, and they didn't know. And 24 hours later or that evening, they found out that he wasn't there. So they went back, and when they found him, Jesus, what are you doing? You made us, you know, nervous and scared. And he goes, well, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? This is spiritual growth development. You should be found in your Father's house. This should be something every single time these doors are open, you need to be found in your Father's house. There should be no way, shape, or form. No one should ever be shocked that you're not in your Father's house. Like that, I mean, that they should be shocked that you're not there. They're like, oh, they're not here? We should be calling Ethan. Ethan's not in church. This is weird. He's always here, right? Like, that's the way we all should be. Didn't mean to call you out. Just saying. But we need to be in our Father's house. We got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, repenting, praying, being obedient to what God has instructed us to do, to be reading his word with excitement, with the thrill of, I want to get the answer that God has for me. In Hosea 10:12, it says, sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. Maranatha. To the discouraged, Maranatha. To the anxious, Maranatha. To the weary, Maranatha. Our Lord is here, and he's doing something. Now, as you came in today, you were given a prayer card. Now, if you didn't get one, I'm sure if you raise your hand, our ushers will run to you and hand you one. There are pens in the seat back in front of you. You might have to share, but I would encourage you, grab a pen. This is a new thing we're going to do at the church this year. You know, every month, the first Sunday of the month, we have corporate prayer that we come in here at 6 o'clock and we pray. And so this is the first time that we're going to do this as in church. But this prayer card, tonight we have prayer. Next Sunday night we have prayer. And the Sunday after that night we have prayer as well. And so because this is during that prayer and fasting time. But tonight what's going to happen is you're going to write down your prayer in this big circle. It doesn't have to be super detailed. It doesn't need to be like something like, you know, like a storybook or anything like that. And you don't even have to put your name. That's optional. You can just put your first name if you want. But here's what I want. Don't. I know some of you already written down your prayer. That's fine. But hold on real quick. So what will happen is that we're going to hand these back out tonight. So as people are coming to the door, you might get 5 or 6 of them in your hand, you know, but you get them in your hand because we got 2 services, and so we got a lot of cards that are going to be collected today. And so as you come in tonight, you'll be handed about 5 or 6 of these cards, and then there'll be a time for us to pray over these cards as a church. We're going to be believing with you for your breakthrough, what you're believing for. And so then from the Sunday after this, there's a little orange box on the back of the wall here at the sanctuary. So right beside the prayer room doors, there's an orange box there. And so from this point moving forward, if you ever wanted something to be prayed over, then you can grab a card from there and you can write it down and then drop it off in the box. And so then our prayer team is going to be praying over these cards. And then also on our first Sunday of the month, we're going to hand those cards out and we're going to pray over these cards. And so I want you to know that we're believing for breakthrough. We're believing for those things that need to be blessed, built, and those things that need to be buried. And so I want you to take, while the worship team begins to worship here, just take a few minutes, and you're going to write down that one thing. Now, it might be 4 or 5 things, and that's fine if you do it. But for some of us, one's probably enough right now. But that one thing that you're believing God for, that one thing. Now, it could be a family member that needs to be saved, a breakthrough at the job that you're in right now. Maybe it might be a loved one that you just desperately have been praying for, a healing for the woman that you've been told you're barren. I believe you are not, in Jesus' name. I want you to write those things down. If you're believing for a coworker, a new job, a breakthrough, something that needs to be blessed, write that down. And as you do it in faith, okay? So it's all about knowing that our Heavenly Father loves you. He wants to take care of you. He said it. He said, come to me, all you are weary. He also tells us to come to Him and present our requests. And so this is that opportunity to do that, to step out in faith and say, hey, you know what? My Heavenly Father, He's good. I'm not going to focus on the ground. I'm not going to focus on all the distractions. I'm going to focus on the hope of knowing my Heavenly Father, He's come, He's here, and He's coming again. So take some time to write down that prayer right now.